Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 38. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Tato pyetyasramanvalo kale sarpa kalevaram pitaram vikshadukarto mukta kanto rurodaha. Thereafter, when the boy returned to the hermitage, he saw a snake on his father's shoulders, and out of grief, he cried very loudly. Purport, the boy was not happy because he committed a great mistake, and he wanted to be relieved of the burden on his heart by crying. So after entering the hermitage and seeing his father in that condition, he cried loudly so that he might be relieved, but it was too late. The father regretted the whole incident. Om Gyanatim Arandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Maharaj Prickett, Sita Goswami, is describing this at Naimisharanya. He's describing the history of the Bhagavatam, and at least in terms of the canto, since the seventh chapter, he's been discussing the history. We're in the section now where he's describing the renunciation and death of Maharaj Prickett in response to the sage's specific inquiry about Maharaj Prickett's life. And in the beginning, we discussed this very interesting exchange between Maharaj, between Sita Goswami and the sages before he begins to describe the next part of the story, which is the renunciation. And basically, because we went over it many times, the thing that really struck us is the qualification of the speaker and the hearer. The sages of Naimisharanya were so eager to hear, and they understood the value of hearing Krishna Katha from a pure devotee. You're eager to possess something or do something when you actually understand its worth. So they understood its worth. And Maharaj, and Sutta Goswami himself gave a little summary, capsule summary of the story of Maharaj Prickett, who was a great devotee, who was so powerful that he kept out the influence of Kali Yuga, who came that very moment and that very day that Krishna, that very day and that very moment that Krishna left the planet, he appeared. And Maharaj Prickett came in, and they wanted so much to hear, not only from Sutta Goswami, but the subject that he was talking about. They wanted to hear about Maharaj Prickett because he was such a great personality who got the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of his spiritual master, and therefore was so fearless and powerful, and even at death he wasn't bewildered, and who attracted Krishna's mercy even in the womb of his mother, being in the, you know, being in the line of the Pandavas. So they wanted to hear. And then we saw Sita Goswami again, his humility, describe the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna's ananta, Krishna's unlimited. how to describe the pastimes of Krishna and my qualification. I'm not even born in a good family. I'm Viloma Jataha. I am mixed caste. But by the association of Sukadeva Goswami and by the sages of Namashranya, by the association of his guru and his disciples who were so powerful and pure, he came up. What to speak of one who takes shelter of a pure devotee. And anyway, he began to describe this story. And then we saw this once upon a time, and it describes Maharaj Prickett, who was in great thirst and hunger and approached the sage and then became very, very angry and then picked up this dead snake and garlanded the sage. And Prabhupada discusses is how it was unprecedented for someone of that character, that culture, that level of spiritual advancement to react in that way. Although in normal circumstances, because of the Vedic law of reception, where even an enemy is received. And you don't have, not only an enemy is received, but even a poor man can receive someone, because all you have to give is sunrita, sweet words, a kusha, some mat, any person can receive. So what to speak of the sage, who's a cultured person, and Maharaj Prickett, his position, he wasn't received properly, but still, a person of his caliber should not. Therefore, it was Krishna's plan. This was unprecedented. It was Krishna's plan, and Krishna often... He does this. I was just speaking to a devotee yesterday who is being unnecessarily defamed. And he was very despondent in heart because he's a sensitive person. But at the same sense, you could see because he has such a strong spiritual objective that you can see Krishna's plan. To just further detach him and further make him humble and, you know, give him the qualifications for the spiritual objectives that he has. So Krishna makes plans to bring his devotee closer to him and detach him from worldly matters. So we see that with Maharaj Prickett, and Prabhupada discusses also that this is Krishna's plan also, not only for Maharaj Prickett's personal spiritual development, so to speak, but also he sometimes acts upon the devotee for the benefit of the world. And in a previous purports, Prabhupada often gave the example of when the mother instructs the daughter to teach the sister-in-law, because there's intimate relationship with the daughter and not the daughter-in-law, but the daughter-in-law now is in the house. She has to be instructed. So Krishna instructs the world through his devotees. And sometimes he instructs them, the world, on how to be detached and how to accept Krishna's will. He can't set that example through others because they don't have the spiritual realization to react in a Krishna conscious way. But sometimes he puts his devotees through difficulty to set the example. I often think of this, that some devotees' service is not to achieve anything as much as to just to set an example for others. And in that way, in a lot of ways, their service is even greater. Especially in our movement now, we're looking for examples. And not looking for just examples of people who've achieved something, but looking for examples also. Although achieving something is also Krishna's mercy and it's also very wonderful, but also the example of someone who is just Krishna conscious, purely, and just going on. I often think of this lady called Mother Kolini, Keshava Bharti's, I guess, ex-wife, not divorced, but, and how she stayed in Gitanagari for like 20 years. And the project was not, always struggling for 20 years, and she just worshipped Radha Damodar in the winter. It's so cold there. You'll see her in these long boots with a little stick because she milks the cows. every day in the winter. But I saw, because I saw how, and I'm preaching to a lot of young people, how much they're inspired in Krishna consciousness by her example. And sometimes Krishna sets the example to devotees, and therefore unprecedented things happen to them, because he wants to teach the world something. So we saw this example, and specifically Prabhupada points out how important it was for the Bhagavatam to be manifest. Especially in Kali Yuga, because you can see these past chapters, four or five chapters, what you see is you see what is the condition of the world in the absence of Krishna. And Krishna only reappears in Kali Yuga, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in the form of the Bhagavatam. So how important it is for the Srimad Bhagavatam to manifest for the benefit of the humanity. This is Prabhupada's whole plan in terms of book distribution. What is he distributing? He's distributing this message. Prabhupada had so much faith in this principle. And of course, he said that we're not just an export business. We're not just supposed to give the knowledge out. We're supposed to take the knowledge in also. So now we see what happened. The Sringi, the son of the Brahmin, found out he was Ati Tejasvi. He had very great power, because Maharaj Prickett was the king and maintained that Van Ashram institution. So young men could grow up in a proper atmosphere and this brahmachari training and the, you know, the brahminical culture, and they would, the atmosphere was pure and they would become very, very powerful. But he was just a boy and he was inexperienced. In other words, he lacked culture. He didn't know how to behave, although he had the powers. Young children, they don't know how to behave properly with others. They lack that culture. So when people lack culture, all they see generally in terms of relationships is a hierarchical relationship. I'm the husband, she's the wife, she's under me. Or, you know, I'm the teacher, that's the student. Or I'm the president and that's only the temple commander. Or that's nothing. Or I'm a Prabhupada disciple and they're, you know, second generation. Not seeing in a broader way, and not only one-dimensional in that order, and therefore not seeing the person as a whole and not giving the proper respect, and then becoming overwhelmed with the false prestige of being on top of the order or pecking order or whatever it's called. And therefore, because Sringi did this, the brahminical tejas was lost. Because specifically a Brahmin, his duty, his prescribed duty, how he works, is by shamodamastapo saucham, by tolerance, by self-control. Shamodamastapo saucham, shantir, peacefulness, simplicity, jnana, vijnana, knowledge. This is how he works. And this is the yajna. The yajna is doing your duties. So he lost the tejas, and when he lost the tejas, he lost the power. Then the direction of society is lost. Because if the kshatriyas are not encouraged and treated with respect, then they become independent of the authority. And when the kshatriyas become independent of the brahminical authority, they don't have the influence of goodness. Because they're more passionate, they don't have the influence of goodness, and therefore they tend to exploit, or they tend to stray from dharma in the name of expediency. And a very example. And when that happens, when the kshatriyas begin to exploit, then the Vaishyas become independent of the government and they start to accumulate money and not pay taxes and And then when the Vaishyas start to exploit, then the people who are doing all the work, which is the Sudras, then they rebel. We're doing all the work and these people are, you know, Vaishyas are such that they can make a lot of money without doing the work. And they keep the money. And therefore, because they keep the money, there's not proper welfare in the society. So the people are working hard for nothing and they don't have even the proper social benefits. And therefore they want to become communists. So this analysis by Prabhupada is quite brilliant on how a social structure becomes vitiated or destroyed. And it begins with Brahmins not acting according to their culture, not acting properly with their subordinates, not acting respectfully, and therefore losing their power. We can see Brahminical tejas. When someone is very saintly and detached, everyone automatically wants to follow them. Automatically, they have so much power. And when they don't, and they just want to rule by, I am a Brahmin, I am on top, I am in charge, then people do it only out of force. And then politics enter in. It's only out of force, so therefore people want the top position, and everybody fights for the top position. The whole society. So this is what happened. Prabhupada said specifically, what is it when? Birthright. The downfall of Brahminical powers began as they gave importance to birthright without culture. Birthright without culture. Position without qualification. You need an institution. And there has to be a chain of command. That's very, very important. But the pitfall is if people use their authority without cultivating the qualification for the position. Because then the authority of that institution becomes weakened. So the boy returned to the hermitage and he saw and he cried. But what did he cry? He really cried, not just because the snake was on his father, because still, even though he was uncultured, he still had culture. He felt sorry. He realized that he made it a big mistake and he felt bad.
Sava angiraso brahman shrutva sutta balapanam umilya shanakai netre drishva chamse mitoragam.
O brahmanas. So Sutta's talking to the rishis. The rishi who was born in the family of Angira Muni, hearing his son crying, gradually opened his eyes and saw the dead snake around his neck.
Visvijatam chapapracha vatsakasmadirodishi kenavaite pakritam ityuktasa nyavedayat.
He threw the dead snake aside and asked his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done him harm. On hearing this, the son explained what had happened. So Prabhupada, the purport, the father did not take the dead snake around his neck seriously, simply threw it away. There was nothing seriously wrong in Maharaj's Pariksit act, but the foolish son took it very seriously. And being influenced by Kali, he cursed the king and thus ended a chapter of happy history.
Nishamya saptam ataharam narendram sabrahmano natmajam abhyanadat aho batam ho maharajyate kritam Alpiyashidroha Urudam Nozita.
The father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best amongst all human beings. The rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary began to repent, saying, "Alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my own son. He was awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant cause. So he said, Atat arham, never to be condemned, Naradev, the king who is representing the Supreme Lord. The king was so qualified. He was a soul that was born in a, you know, a pious king is a son that has the, he has the karma to be born in the family of pious king. And therefore, when he's born, he'll get the proper training. He already has that nature. He gets the proper training, and there's such a tradition in his family on how to behave. In other words, there's certain, as soon as you're born in a family, like a royal family, then there's so many expectations of Dharma that are right there automatically. That's why Arjuna was fearful of fighting in the war and destroying the male members of the family and the elders. Because then people could act whimsically if the tradition is gone. If you're born in a good family and then you think of acting whimsically, well, let me do this. And then you look back, well, my father never did this, and my father's father never did this, and my father's father never did this, and back generations and generations. So then you think, oh, I want to do this, but, you know, it's very difficult. No one has done this in my family before. So all the traditions and rules have been followed for thousands of generations. Hundreds of generations. So it puts such a, it's so fortunate to be born in that type of family and tradition. Because you're conditioned to all the right values. To Dharma. So the king, being born in that family and then being trained. Naradev, he represented God's law and he also represented God's care and affection. And he had to do his duty. So therefore, the Shamaka Rishi knew this. He's never to be condemned, even if he makes a mistake in his duty. I think even in Bhagavad Gita it says that, you know, what is it? No offense, even if the superior chastises something. Is it in, you know that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Where, somewhere in the second chapter, yeah, superior is never to be treated harshly, even if he, something like that. But anyway, the king had such a service. Prabhupada said a medical practitioner may kill a patient by mistaken treatment, but such a killer is never condemned to death. That's because he was doing his duty, even though he made a mistake. So the king basically was ruling the earth and ruling the world, so such a mistake. So he says, Atat arham, he's never to be cursed. Opiasi drohe, opet, insignificant drohe, offense. He should never be such offense. And then, uru dhamma, there's such a great punishment for such an insignificant offense. He was, and therefore, abhyan nandat, what is that word? It says, abhyanandat. Congratulated, he wasn't congratulated by his father. How then could a king like Maharaj Prickett be condemned by an inexperienced, puffed up son of the Brahmin, even though he attained the powers of a qualified Brahmin? Since Shamaka Rishi, he was experienced and a good Brahmin, he did not approve the actions of his condemned son.
Navai nabhiyanada devam parakyam samatumarhas yavipakfabudhe yatejasadur vishahena gupta vindanti badran yakatobaya praja.
Oh my boy, your intelligence is immature, and therefore you have no knowledge that the king who is best among human beings is as good as the personality of Godhead. He is never to be placed on an equal footing with common men. The citizens of the state live in prosperity, being protected by his unsurpassable prowess. So you're immature. He lacks culture and he lacks knowledge. This is so important for leadership, to have the proper culture and knowledge on how to deal properly with people in different circumstances. So important. What to speak of a superior like Maharaj Bricket?
Alakshamane Naradeva Namni Ratangapana Vayamangaloka Tadahi Chorapacharova Nakshati Arakshamano Virutabakshanat.
My dear boy, the Lord, who carries the wheel of a chariot, is represented by the monarchical regime. And when this regime is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with thieves, who then at once vanquish the unprotected subjects like scattered lambs. So these next few verses are going to discuss the fault of a society without a trained and pious monarch. An ideal king, thoroughly trained by culture and devotional service with the martial spirit, makes a perfect king. Prabhupada said that when there was the war with Cambodia or something, and there was the bombing, and they told Prabhupada because somehow the American soldiers were attacked, and Prabhupada said, if the American king, president was Krishna conscious, he would say, if they harm one hair on the head of one of our men, there'll be fight. So the culture, devotion, and the martial spirit. Prabhupada said such a personal monarchy is far better than the so-called democracy of no training and responsibility. The democracy of no training and responsibility. The thieves and rogues of modern democracy seek election by misrepresentation of votes, and the successful rogues and thieves devour the mass of population. One trained monarch is far better than hundreds of useless ministerial rogues, and it is herein hinted that the abolition of a monarchical regime like that of Maharaj Bricket, the mass of people become open to many attacks of the age of Kali. They are never happy in an overly advertised form of democracy. The result of such a kingless administration is described in the following verses.
Tarajana papam upaityananvayam yanashtana tasya viso valumpakat parasparam nanti Sapanti rinjate pashuns tryotan purudasya vojana.
So, due to the termination of the monarchical regimes and the plundering of the people's wealth by rogues and thieves, there will be great social disruptions. People will be killed and injured, and animals and women will be stolen. And for all these sins, we shall be responsible. So Prabhupada, the word na is very significant. The right sage rightly takes the responsibility of the Brahmins as a community for killing monarchical government and thus giving an opportunity to the so-called Democrats, who are generally plunderers of the wealth of the state subjects. So, Prabhupada said, we accept responsibility. And then there's responsibility. Why? Because nashta natasya, that it's destroyed, the natasya, the rulers, the system of ruling, of controlling, the monarchical system was destroyed, and therefore, vilumpakat, plundered. The citizens are plundered. Vaso, their wealth, is being plundered by rogues and thieves. And then this great social disharmony and people killed and injured and animals and women will be stolen and so much difficulty.
Tadarya dharma pravaliyante nirnam vanashramachara yutastayi mayi tatota kamma binaveshatatmanam shunam kapina mivavana sankara.
So when the Brahmins, due to behaving improperly, basically destroy the monarchical regime, because when the Brahmins don't give proper guidance and don't deal with people properly, then they lose their shakti, the society loses their direction, people become exploited, and the authority, a system of authority is destroyed. There's no authority in society. At that time, it says, Arya, progressive civilization, pravaliyate, is systematically vanquished. At that time, people in general fall systematically from the path of progressive civilization in respect to the qualitative engagements of caste and orders of society and the Vedic injunctions. So it says here, Acharya Yuta, they're composed in a good manner, the Vanashrama. It's composed in a very good manner. And in that time, the whole progressive civilization is destroyed, and therefore, artha, kama, abhinivesita. Artha, kama, economic development and sense gratification, people become completely absorbed in. They keep completely absorbed in just economic development and sense gratification. And then what happens? Then as a result, there will be vana sankara. There'll be unwanted children, sunam kapinam. Oh, Eva, they're like proper monkeys. There will be unwanted population on the level of dogs and monkeys. Purport is foretold here, and that in the absence of a monarchical regime, come in. Yeah, hey. Anyway, it's pretty self-explanatory. At that time, when the monarchical regime is abolished, by this lack of culture, by the people who are supposed to give direction, we discovered, then this is what happens.
Dharmapalo Narapati Satu Samrat Prihatshrava Sakshan Mahabhagavato Vajarshihaya Meriyat Shutrit Shrama Yuto Dino Naivasmach Chapamarati.
The Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated and is a first-class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is a saint among royalty, and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed. So it previously mentioned that a king should never be cursed. Now, specifically, the qualities of Maharaj Prikkhit are going to be described. And he's the Dharma, he's the protector of religion. He's Brihat Shrava. He's highly celebrated and famous. Mahabhagavata, he's a first class devotee. Raja Rishi, he's a saint among the royal order. Hoya Mediat, he's a great performer of horse sacrifices. Therefore, he doesn't deserve such a cursing a king just because he was tired and fatigued was not at all proper. Apapeshu sabrityeshu balena pakvaburina papam kritam tad bhagavan sarvatma shantumarati. Then the rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who is completely free from all sins, who is subordinate and deserved to be protected. So he wanted his child pardoned. He was immature and his intelligence was immature, and he created the papam, the sinful act of a papeshu, of cursing one who is completely freed from all sins, and svabrityeshu, one who is subordinate and deserves to be protected.
Taraskrita vipralabdha shapta shipta hata api nasyat tat pratikurvanti tad bhokta prabhavopihi.
The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. And Sridhar Swami in his commentary said that Maharaj Prickett was hoping that Shyamakrishi was hoping that Maharaj Prickett would counter curse his son so that it would neutralize the effects of what he did. So therefore in this verse he's saying that he's a devotee. They'll never avenge themselves. Never. Because a devotee is not concerned with material disadvantages. There's no such thing to the devotee. He has a spiritual objective. And material disadvantages are not disadvantages in one's life's objective. So they're so forbearing. Shyamakrishi knew that the Lord does not forgive a person who has committed offense at the feet of a devotee. The Lord can only give direction to take shelter of the devotee. He thought within himself that if Maharaj Prickett would counter curse the boy, he might be saved. But he knew that a pure devotee is callous about worldly advantages or reverses. As such, the devotees are never inclined to counteract personal defamation, curses, negligence. As far as such things are concerned, in personal affairs, the devotees do not care for them. The sage thus regretted the sin committed by his own son. He did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously. Generally, and Sutta Goswami, generally the transcendentalist, even though engaged by others in the dualities of the material world, are not distressed, nor that they take pleasure in worldly things, for they are transcendentalists. The king was a devotee, and the rishi was a mystic, therefore both of them were unattached to the accidental incident created by the supreme will. Happiness, distress, they have nothing to do with the dualities of the material world. Something happens to me. This is bad. This is good. They see Krishna's will. The example was Vidura. When he was cursed by Duryodhana, he just saw Krishna's will. He didn't react to Duryodhana. He reacted to Krishna's will. So the devotee always reacts to Krishna's will. And therefore, personal insults, he doesn't react. So they, even though engaged by others in the dualities of the material world, and there's others may look at it good or bad, or may curse them or praise them. Others are engaging them in the dualities of the world. Oh, you're very glorious or you're very bad. They don't react to that. They only they're beyond this duality. Duality means twofold. They only react to Krishna's will. And they see everything as Krishna's will. And both the mystic and the sages, the Shyamakrishi,
You know, he looked at me and said, oh, a dead snake on me. What a rascal. Who has done this to me? He didn't get involved in the dualities of the world. This is good. Krishna's will. There's a snake on me. Now I take off the snake. That's also Krishna's will. So he didn't react to the dualities of the world. And he knew that Maharaj Prickett now, at it, when he's cursed by the sun, Sringi, he also didn't react. Oh, he's cursed me. Who is this? I will, you know, Krishna's will. So you can see the example of Shamaka Rishi and Maharaj Prickett and how a society of transcendentalists should actually be. Not cursing and counter-cursing and tit-for-tat, but, what? Yeah, defame, criticizing, revenge, disturbing, they're forbearing, defame, cheated, cursed, never. So we see again, the Bhagavatam always brings out the character of the transcendentals, the character of the devotees. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Maharaj Prickett Cursed by a Brahmin Boy. A little time. Is there any time for questions? Mataji, do you have any questions or references? Anybody else? Japadas, you have some questions? Yes. Shredas?
Relevant material.
What?
Prabhupada is not speaking just in philosophy, but
very relevant.
Very relevant, applicable.
Very relevant. Knowledge. Actually, when this section was being discussed, because up until chapter 15, it was really rasa, in terms of the it was really directly about Krishna. It was about Krishna's personality and how Krishna thinks and how his devotees respond. And then in chapter, I think in beginning in chapter 16, it's basically about management and administration. But you can see why there has to be discussions in management and administration for spiritual life, because we're so affected by the society that we live in. Yes.
Where the father is calling the son, he should be protected by us. Generally, we think that the kshatriyas are the ones who are the protectors.
Right.
But here, he's saying that, you know, these men, these are dependent. The kshatriyas are dependent on the Brahmins, and we should
protect them. It's very interesting, it is. That the Brahmins, he tells Sringi, this son, that he's our dependent. This Mahabhagavat, Raja Rishi, the king, is our dependent.
Okay, how come that? How are the Brahmins protected?
Well, the protection is their guidance. You can just see, even a big leader, a big manager or something, if there's a saintly person, you know, everyone wants direction. What to do? They have to be protected. If you don't get direction, you act improperly and you suffer. So everyone, you can see on everybody's mind is, you know, a real big manager was like, what to do? What to do? You need protection of guidance so that you follow religious principles. Because if you don't follow, do the right thing, then you'll suffer. They have to be protected. So the Brahmins are actually, it's interesting, they are protecting the society by their guidance and knowledge. And when you don't have a strong Brahminical culture, and the Brahmins are not properly respected and not properly trained, and the society, you know, simply by powerful managers does not survive. And those people need, and you'll see that that's the mood of a kshatriya. As soon as someone's really detached and a real Brahmin, he'll take shelter immediately. And he'll feel that without that guidance, then I cannot do my duty. I can do not my... And the first quality that was described about Maharaj Prickett, because when there was it started in chapter 7 describing Maharaj Prickett in the womb of his mother. And because there was so many interesting, because Krishna appeared, then there was a little description of Krishna. And didn't get back to Maharaj Prickett, a description of Maharaj Prickett again, to the 12th chapter. And the first thing that it described in terms of the qualities of Maharaj Prickett, because Sutta Goswami says, now I will tell about Maharaj Prickett again, who was a Mahabhagavat, a great devotee, had so many great qualities, and then it was said that he was Sikshaya Dvija Varya, and he took instructions from the best of the Brahmins. Amazing. Anything else, Mother?
Is the fault of the Brahminical culture that the children were...
What's that?
Is that the fault of the Brahminical culture that the children have the power?
That who?
The children, the immature children, they have power to curse. Is it seems to be like the fault of the whole culture?
Well, it's not the fault of the culture. It's just that they do have power because of their samskara, the impressions in their consciousness, right from birth. They have power because from their, you know, suchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brashta vijayate, they're from many, many lifetimes of cultivating spiritual life, they have power. The power is there.
In this case, they have to be protected because they are immature, so they can misuse this power.
Yeah, therefore it's unprecedented. This is how Kali entered. They don't generally misuse their power. Children also, impressions are so strong from the family that, you know, they automatically know how to behave. You know, there's certain things you don't do. We don't see even a young child, you know, once, let's say he's young, but it means he had some training. You don't see a young child disrespect his elders. It's unprecedented. So automatically, so this is also very, very unusual. But the problem was, is that in Kali Yuga, instead of the people born in Brahmin families being yoga brushed as their demons from previous ages, and this is also Krishna's plan, and that was also discussed. Any other questions or comments? Dadu? Any questions about this?
Why is Krishna answering? What purpose he serve?
What purpose does Krishna serve?
By bringing the demons into being present.
What plan does he serve? It seems that it just sets the stage for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and deliver the most fallen. What? Yes, Vinashaya Chudushkritam. Yeah, it sets the stage for Lord Chaitanya. Okay, anything else? Okay, well, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.